So Nia, the Nakba as it happens. Although it is framed within the cultural and geographical context of Europe, the Mediterranean area has specific characteristics of its own. According to Costas Dausinas, the omnipresence of the sea, the idea of travel, and the constant encounter with the other make this region and the myth associated with it particularly important when it comes to analyzing the identity crisis the old continent is currently undergoing. Rather than characterizing Southern Europe as the source of problems, Dausinas suggests exploring it as a source of new values that can help us to forge ahead. Sonia talks to Costas Dausinas after his lecture, Dead Europe, Politics on the Borders, part of the Next Mediterranean, Shore-to-Shore Dialogues on Art, Economy, and Society. Europe, a spiritual geography.
Europe is a number of things. Of course, first is the name of a geographical landmass, of a continent, as we call it. But at the same time, it is many other things. It is a political concept. It is a cultural concept. It is an economic concept. And to that extent, one would say that Europe is also a kind of spiritual geography. It is not just geography. It is not just a continent.
The European Union, a political connection.
The European Union, in the first instance, was an economic union, an economic community when it first started. Later, with the addition of all the new members, it moved towards a common market, now a united market, but also started moving towards a political union. To that extent, it represents parts of what Europe, or the idea of Europe, or the spiritual geography of Europe has meant in a history of 2,000 and perhaps more than 2,000 years, but it is also just a part of that.
Revisiting the idea of the Mediterranean.
The idea of the Mediterranean, which is perhaps the Mediterranean Sea, the middle of the earth, the medium terra, or the terra nostrum, our sea and so on, the place where the idea of Europe was created. The challenge of this series of talks and the challenge of thinking today with the huge crisis that the European Union is going through, the Europe more generally, but the European Union in particular, is perhaps again to go back to those cultural and philosophical and perhaps ethical roots that takes us to the Mediterranean.
The central role of the sea.
It is a sea, and therefore it defines the Mediterranean peoples and the Mediterranean civilizations and cultures as seafaring people, people who always depart, who leave behind their ports.
The importance of travel and the encounter with the other.
The Mediterranean has departed, left home behind, left home and traveled. In traveling, they met other people and other cultures and other civilizations, other gods, other languages. And it was precisely this meeting of the other language, the other port, the other people, which created what classical philosophy calls the idea of Europe.
European universalism.
The idea of Europe, according to all these people, is the idea of the universal, the idea of ways of thinking, of a reason, both a scientific reason, but also a practical reason, a reason involved in morality and ethics, which is not local, parochial, partial, involved in a specific culture, but which moves away from that culture, from that local belonging and commitment and attachment to something which is applicable or should be applicable to the whole world or to the whole humanity.
The Mediterranean and its relationship to otherness.
That idea of the universal could be created in Greece because the Mediterraneans, the Greeks in that instance, were seafarers, were people of the sea, and therefore they always looked into other people. And they realized that their own culture is not precisely universal, because there are different cultures, different beliefs, different ideas. And in that otherness that they first realized linguistically, culturally, civilizationally, they also found the possibility of thinking beyond their own culture into something else. It is the Mediterranean concept of Europe. Unfortunately, the European Union is losing it.
The current crisis and the new social contract in the wake of the dictatorships.
This crisis is more than a usual circular crisis. It is more than a usual crisis for a number of reasons. I mean, the first, I think it is because all of us Europeans, certainly after the World War or after the fall of the dictatorships in the Mediterranean, in Portugal, Spain, in Greece, we did enter a kind of post-dictatorship social contract, which was based on ideas of social solidarity, of justice, of a certain degree of equality. And that social contract was, to a certain extent, represented by the European Union. And this kind of social contract, I think, is coming now to an end, to an abrupt end, without being discussed in those terms. You know, what we're being told is that, you know, there are these huge deficits, this debt, that there are problems with the public sector of our economies and so on.
The concept of democracy.
That idea of democracy, of the power, the kratos, of the demos, of the people, of those who have no qualification or power to rule, you know, introduces into the political idea of Europe or the political idea of the Mediterranean as the birthplace of Europe.
The concept of politics.
Concept of politics in which proper politics means precisely the demand by those groups in a political system or in a social and cultural system who are excluded. So later we had the women or slaves or minorities, today the unemployed youth in Europe. Those people who are excluded, who have absolutely no participation in the political system, who are invisible to the organized society because precisely they have no participation and nobody cares for them.
The political event.
When that those people demand to be included and therefore to change the way in which society is organized into parts and groups and parties and unions and employers, they ask, they say, we the nobodies, we who have nothing, we who nobody sees us or understands us, are actually the everything. We represent the good of the whole society. At that point, politics, I think, happens.
The death of Europe as a political space.
Politics was always the area in which disagreement and conflict was not just happening, it was facilitated. It was politics was the area in which the different ideas and the different conceptions about what is good in society and so on were fighting it out. Now we're told that the models and formulae of the mathematicians and the economists and so on will tell us what is good about our organization, and the politicians have to apply it, and we, the citizens, have to obey it. That is, for me, what I call the death of Europe as a political space.
Political mediation in a neoliberal capitalism.
Precisely, neoliberal capitalism destroyed or undermined, weakened intermediate institutions like trade unions, even political parties, those kinds of institutions which mediated between people, individual citizens, and public power. And in the way in which capitalism, through consumption, through emphasis on buying, on consumption, on lifestyle, created the sense, particularly over the period of the fat cows, you know, sort of the 80s and the 90s, where based on this financial and real estate bubble, people felt that their income was going up. Now, in that period, there was a direct relationship created between citizens and the economic system, which in a sense sidestepped the political system and created a sense of apathy. I'm not interested in what's happening in politics and so on.
The crisis and the return to the political.
Now that economic system collapsed, after 2008, after the Lehman Brothers collapse and so on, what you have is lots of people, particularly younger people, who never got involved with unions or political parties or other political organizations and so on, reacting in one obvious and understandable way, which is acting out.
An attack against the idea of Europe.
The Mediterranean, that sea, that bridge of the different lands around the sea, has become a wall. Has become a wall, you know, that is being policed by our gunboats and our port police, and is becoming a cemetery for those, the wretched of the earth, that are supposed to come here and take our jobs. That, again, to my mind, is a huge attack on what Europe was.
The decreasing possibility for exchange.
An attack, again, that on the one hand goes against those universal ideas that we claim as our own, like human rights, like liberty, like freedom and so on. But on the other hand, precisely reduces what we as Europeans, as an old continent, as people who, particularly you, the young, I mean, you know, sort of get born, you know, 50 years of age, in a sense, because it is an old continent. By removing this possibility of exchange, of othering, of learning, you know, from other people and so on, it totally undermines whatever, you know, sort of made Europe, made particularly the Mediterranean.
Responsibility for the Mediterranean.
Because the Mediterranean is a land of the sea, it is the navel of the earth, it is the middle of the earth and so on, in a sense, has a great responsibility to stand up against those ideas that come from Brussels and from Germany and from the heartlands of contemporary Europe, which were always a little bemused and perhaps shocked by the Mediterraneans.
The Mediterranean idea of Europe.
Two different ideas of Europe. You know, the Mediterranean idea, which is about always moving, always leaving, and also welcoming the other. Leaving from your own home to go elsewhere, to go whether to the New World, you know, North America, or of course Latin America, or to Australia, or to Brazil, or whatever. And of course, as a necessary complement of that, to welcome the people of Ecuador and Colombia and Morocco. The Central Europeans accuse the Mediterraneans for all these things.
The Central European idea of Europe.
The Central European is just about work. It's about the work ethic. It's about making money. And it's about having a kind sort of limited, restricted view of what is a good life.
The relationship between law and aesthetics.
Law and religion and so on always had that kind of aesthetic practice. I mean, look at the Ten Commandments. You know, two of the Ten Commandments are precisely about images. You know, sort of, it is clear, or Plato, if we look at the Greek tradition, expels the artists and the painters from his ideal republic. So it is very clear that, you know, religious and philosophical systems, right from the beginning, understand that there is something that's being played around regimes of images, the way that people see the world, and they try to control it.
The normative construction of ways of seeing.
Normative systems and power systems, in which, again, I include religion, law, morality, but also organization of political power through those systems that legitimize the exercise of power, always had a certain attitude towards visuality, towards seeing, and tried to develop particular ways of seeing.
Makba.cat